the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
At first glance, it may look like a brazen entitlement. 63% of affluent children between the ages of 18 and 22 say financial stability in retirement will depend on inheriting money, according to Bloomberg. Well, wealth can be a very difficult situation, and I hate to tell those children, but there's a partner in their inheritance. It's called Uncle Sam. Joining us on the program is Paul Horn from Financial Sense Advisors. Paul, I want to talk about just briefly this Bloomberg article, which was staggering. It said, these are graphs they show, Gen Z generation is relying, 60% of them are relying on inheritance for retirement. Millennials, it's about 30%. Gen X, it's about 40%. And then for boomers, it's 20%. Let's talk about wealth and family dynamics, but I wonder if you might want to comment and begin our discussion with Bloomberg. This article really surprised me.
Yeah, it was pretty eye-opening, Jim. I would agree. And for those that want to follow along, we'll have a link out for that article in the notes for the podcast today. But in that article, it was a study done by Merrill Edge, and what they had found was the younger you are, essentially, the more that they are anticipating having to live off their parents' wealth in order to survive in retirement. And it's an interesting view here. I'm not sure if this is being caused by what is the growing sharing economy, things like Airbnb or Uber, as the article suggests, or if this just may be a under-reliance or a reality check for them that they're not counting on Social Security and other sources like that to be there for them in retirement. But yeah, I would agree, Jim. It was a very eye-opening article.
I want to talk about, often there are many examples of, and I guess this goes back to work ethic, this could be taxes, it could be a lack of planning. But when you look at this, one of the things that hits me, and I'm reading Paul Lagone's new book, the founder of Home Depot, called I Love Capitalism. And it's about instilling values into individuals. And I wonder if we might talk about that, because it seems a lot of this can stem from, let's say, what parents impart to their children.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting discussion. And it's a common discussion that we have with virtually every client that we have that has kids, is how to instill their values into their kids. Studies have shown that 80% of all millionaires are new to wealth, meaning that they created that wealth in their lifetime. And oftentimes, it's their values, hard work, education, ability to save, things like that, that allow them to create that wealth in their lifetime. But when kids are growing up in the nicest neighborhoods and the nicest houses and have everything, they're not raised in the same culture that created the values that their parents had. So it makes it a little bit more difficult for those parents. The parents have to be very intent on setting those values and doing additional things to help instill those values in their kids. In my honest opinion, passing on values to your heirs, allowing them to be more successful, is more valuable than any amount of money that you can leave them, right? Give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man a fish, he eats for a lifetime.
And what are ways that parents can get help? I mean, you know, some of the things of transferring of wealth are pretty straightforward. You get a good advisor, a CPA, tax attorney, and you get the wealth to the kids. But what about the other end that we're talking about here, the values? Where do parents get help?
There's good books out there. There's great movies, like the wonderful movie that you like to quote every year.
It's called The Ultimate Gift, which is a fabulous, fabulous movie about teaching. This gentleman was a multi-billionaire oil tycoon, and he wanted to teach his grandchildren the lesson because he saw the inherited wealth with his children. They just became trust fund kids.
And so there's many great opportunities to help learn through yourself that way. But realistically, when you work with a good advisor, they can help coach you and help facilitate those conversations. I know here that's one thing that I do quite often when we're doing the financial plans is a lot of part of the time that we've spent is just coaching parents and training them on how to have these conversations with theirs and using what I would call with language, where we're working with you, not for you type of language, because when it's that with, it kind of brings, the child feels more involved, brings them alongside, and they feel like they're being involved in the process.
Yeah, I wonder if you might comment, because I know when I started in the business back in the late 1970s, early 1980s, the World War II generation was reluctant to discuss wealth with their children. Why is it important for people to talk with family members about money? So let's say I'm Larry, lots of bucks. You know, I was very successful in business. I'm worth, you know, millions of dollars. Okay, I have a couple kids. Why is it important for me to talk to them about money?
Like anything in life, it comes down to communication. Most divorces happen not because financial decisions are bad, but because there's lack of communication. And having proper communication with your kids can help prepare them. Now, this doesn't mean that you're telling them exactly how much they're going to receive when you pass, but instead, it's an opportunity to let them know the values, let them know what your wishes are to help maintain and build that legacy going on. But the reality is, and we've seen this in many studies of millionaires, but once the heirs pass that created the wealth, 70% of the time the wealth runs out just at their kids, at the first generation. 90% of the time the wealth runs out by the time it gets to their grandkids. So out of all millionaires out there, less than 10% of the time does the wealth make it past their grandkids. And a lot of this stems from it. And when we have looked at studies as to what the causes are for this loss of wealth, 60% of the time the failure is due to a breakdown in communication and trust. The other 25% of the time the heirs are not prepared. So that leaves only about 15% of the time that it's due to other things like taxes, underperformance in investments, things like that.
How much of this do you think when these failures of wealth transfer is that there isn't a common mission or a philosophy that's instilled in the next generation? In other words, if they don't have any financial acumen, which is basically they're just given money, then how does that legacy continue? In other words, do they just spend it all? They don't do the common planning that, let's say, their parents did?
Yeah, it's twofold there, Jim, that you touched on. One is the lack of values because they weren't raised with the same values. And the second thing there is just the financial acumen isn't there. Their parents handled everything for them, coddled them, if you will, a lot of times. And what that does, unfortunately, is it sets your kids up for failure when they're not given opportunities to learn, opportunities to make mistakes and learn from those mistakes. You know, great example where we're seeing this is I have one client that has four kids. Two of them are completely independent, very successful in their own right, and the other two still live with the mom. The two that live with the mom were from a second marriage where it was a wealthy husband, and they had money coming up. They never went out, never were taught values, so they're still living off mom and dad. But the first husband wasn't wealthy, so they saw their parents work for everything that they had. Those values were instilled in those kids, and those kids now are the ones that are wealthy because they've got those values, and they work hard, and they've done a great job creating a life for themselves.
What do you think, when you talk about communication as being one of the important factors that needs to start, let's say, from parents to their children, how many people, Paul, are really talking with their family about finances? In other words, how many parents, when you're doing a financial plan, how many of them are up for or already doing the communication with their children, telling them, look, you know, when mom and I pass away, you're going to get an inheritance and, you know, things like IRA stretches and even some of the tax complications that come with inheritance?
Not many, Jim, unfortunately. Study was done, 68% of the respondents of the, which, and these are again millionaires, 68% of them responded they want to talk to their kids. However, what the study also showed is, in fact, only 31% of them had actually had any sort of open communication with their kids. And it's important to understand here that communication isn't just talking about we have money, but it's talking to them about the goals and objectives and how to save, and like you said, have that financial acumen to build the wealth, but again, begin to spread the wealth and manage the wealth.
When you talk about this communication, and you talk about a lot of the millionaires that you deal with, almost 80% of them are new wealth. In other words, they created it. It wasn't an inheritance. Have you found any difference, Paul, in, let's say, newfound wealth versus old money? In other words, you take families like the Kennedys, the Rockefellers, where, you know, you've had generations of wealth passing on. Any difference?
I have. And a lot of this comes down to communication. One family I can think of that we work very closely with, and we've worked with multiple generations of that family, and the oldest, the matriarch of the family, was very successful over their lifetime, still alive, very successful. But each kid and each subsequent generation built their own wealth in their time as well, despite the fact that they were in line to receive a large inheritance. And the matriarch and patriarch of that family did a great job of instilling those values in those kids very early on, making them have jobs in high school, making them pay for 2 years of college so that they were invested in their own education. Help them buy a car, but didn't just give them a Porsche or a BMW or something else like their friends may have had, but instead, you know, helped them to be successful, but really put it on the kids to take the initiative for them to be successful.
What are some of the challenges you see with this new wealth? Let's talk about Larry Lotsenbach, who, you know, basically started a business, didn't come from wealth, when trying to communicate with their kids. Because, you know, if he was successful building that wealth, those children have grown up in a wealthy atmosphere. They may live in nicer neighborhoods. They may go to nicer schools, nicer colleges. So they're used to, you know, maybe they have cars when they turn 16. They're obviously growing up in a different environment than your average American. What are some of the challenges that, let's say, this newfound wealth has in presenting this to the children and maybe educating them that, look, this didn't come free. I had to work hard for this.
I think the biggest mistake, and a lot of mistakes are bad decisions made with good intentions. So the one thing that I most commonly see from individuals I work with that are making these mistakes is they grew up without money. So they want to give their kids every opportunity and everything that they didn't have access to as kids. And so they end up spending lots of money on their kids, showering them with gifts, expensive vacations, the best charter schools. And I'm not saying charter schools are bad by any means, but what they're lacking here is the communication and instilling the values that made them successful and the ability to create the wealth. So instead, they're just giving to the kids and they're expecting the kids to have the same mentality that they had growing up, but it's a completely different culture that they're being raised in. So they need to work with the kids. Number one, you know, the best teacher is a good example. So setting the tone for them and then positioning them for success. Jim, you and your own kids, I think, is a wonderful story there with Ryan and Chris working for you, you know, doing filing in the summers during high school, helping pay for their car, you know, working their way up. Today, we've got Chris as our CIO and Ryan as our CEO. A very famous pastor that I know, his son went to ministry school, was expected to be handed the keys and become pastor day one in the church. And for years, he had to work in the front office. And for years, he had to do things like cleaning toilets to work his way and develop the right work ethic and understand the values that the father had to eventually take over the church and create a true succession plan for that church. We've seen the same thing even with the Jerry Jones and the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones has done the same thing where his kids are in the business, but he set them up for success, having them start out low positions where today they're essentially running the Cowboys team.
So when you take a look at this, Paul, the families that are successful in wealth transfer and maintaining that, if you were to boil it down to a couple key factors, what would they be?
That's an excellent question, Jim. I would really boil it down to about four factors. The first thing is to do an excellent job of clarifying family values and the purpose of those and communicating those to the heirs. You want to set expectations for them and define rationales for those expectations. And by doing this, what you're trying to do is create financial self-reliance for them to create their own wealth. And secondly, trying to create accountability here. So expectation is that the family provides charity, for example, and they do gifting. So how you might pass it on to a teenager, maybe have them not just gift money, but gift time. Sweat equity is greatly appreciated and highly underrated. So having them give the gift of their time and their work in a nonprofit and get involved and have them bring each year when you guys are gifting to the charities, have the kids pick out some charities and teach them how to do research on what is a good charity and what is a bad charity, what are the things to look for. But have them come to the table with ideas, and again, as part of that with language, and giving them the opportunity to choose. And if you don't like it, you ultimately make the decision as the parent, but you don't just say, no, that's a bad. You help use that as a teaching opportunity to instill those values that you're trying to pass on to your heirs.
And in situations where you can't, or let's say the kids just aren't into it, I can think of one case that we worked on, Paul, where upon the husband's death, the wife distributed a significant amount of money to each one of her daughters to see how they handled it. And they handled it terribly. They spent the money, bought new homes, cars, vacations. So instead of creating something, maybe building a portfolio, putting it aside, investing it for their own retirement, they spent it all. And so what about trial runs sometimes when there's a significant amount of wealth involved?
Trial runs can be good, but again, you want to do it in a way that you hopefully set them up for success. If they make mistakes, you don't want those to be life-changing mistakes. So giving them a large chunk of money and seeing what they do with it may not be the best example there, but instead giving them a small piece and time, you know, and when you're giving them that money, try and set expectations as to what you're hoping they're using that money for. So don't just write them a blank check, but say, you know, I know you have three kids and you live in a two-bedroom house, and it'd be great to see you guys live in a more comfortable setting, you know, with better schools, and helping them understand the types of things to consider to make smart financial decisions. And that's where it's really important, too, working with an advisor like ourselves, where we work with multi-generations of wealth to help educate, help with that wealth transfer. So when the time does come and the parents do pass, we have things here like a checklist that we give to the survivors, gives them all the information and things that they need to do to help handle that process, and really is a great tool to help put the ball in the court of the heirs, but teaches them very quickly all the different things that they need to consider with making these financial decisions.
What about, and I've seen this done in estate planning, where the parents may say, look, I want to give them a chance, but I don't want to give it to them all at once. So they might say, all right, you're going to get a third of the estate at age 35, a third at age 45, and then the final third at age 55. So let's say they blow it at age 35. They still have two more chances. What about staging the inheritance or at least access to the principal?
That is an excellent tool. I've seen many variations of that, especially when there's minor or young kids involved, where they say you can't have access to the principal until age 35 unless it's for a first-time home purchase or unless it's for education, for example. So there's a lot of things that can be done in estate planning to, again, try and set your kids up for success while also trying to protect your wishes and, you know, have the legacy that you've created last longer. And there are times where doing something like a dynasty trust or a family trust or a family limited partnership really might be the best scenario if you have some individuals or some kids that just for whatever reason are going to make the wrong decision. So there are things that can be done to help protect them from themselves.
I want to go back to communication because, at least in my experience, this is one of the big issues. As I mentioned, when I started in my career, the World War II generation were somewhat reluctant to discuss finances with the children. It was kept as a private matter. Of course, now that has changed. And the thing that concerns me is reading this Bloomberg article where so many generations, Gen X, millennials to Gen Z, are depending on inheritance. How do you communicate? And, you know, that to me seems like the real crux of the issue here is the communication, establishing trust, between the parents and the children, and also instilling some values. Because I can think of one case right now where the wealth is going to be so large that it's going to change the kids' lives when they inherit it. And, you know, if you're not prepared for it, if you haven't instilled values, you could run into problems, as so many of these stories we've been discussing, where the wealth doesn't last beyond the third generation.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Jim, that it begins with communication. The trick is finding what I call this the Goldilocks level of communication, not finding communication with your kids that isn't too much, but isn't too little either. So you want them to understand the opportunities that they're going to have given the wealth, but they don't need to know the dollar amount. They don't need to know some other things. So how you communicate to your kids, it's going to be very important to speak to your kids in a way that instills your values. And for each person, that might be something slightly different. But the crux of what I've seen all wealthy people have is they tend to have a very good work ethic and very good financial acumen, understanding the markets, understanding controlling emotions and impulses, and understanding to maintain a long-term approach or a long-term view. So really helping them to have some sort of self-discipline and overcome those impulse decisions tends to be the best thing and a great starting point when working with kids and teaching them in these, instilling these values.
Can you give us just a couple examples of things that worked out well, either a business owner or, let's say, education, things that were instilled between parent and child that turned out to be a very good success, and then explain why?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my closest friends growing up, I think his parents did a wonderful job for him. Today, he's the owner of multiple businesses, millions a year in revenue. Very, very successful. His parents are both attorneys. They paid for all 4 years of his undergrad with the expectation that he gets a bachelor's degree and that he becomes an attorney, and it was going to be paid for by his parents. He decided he wanted to be a chef. He loved cooking from the time he was in junior high, and that's what he wanted to do for a living. So being the brainiac that he was, he graduated college in 3 years, completely paid for, but instead of going into law school, the agreement he had with his parents is he had 5 years to try and make it as a chef. If it didn't work, then the agreement was he was going to go back into law school. So he communicated with them. They listened. They communicated their concerns, but they allowed him to pursue his passion. And it worked out where he is now a highly rated chef. He's been on Iron Chef and many other shows and very successful today. So that's one example there where the kid wanted to take a risk and the parents communicated with him, gave him the opportunity, but there was a fallback plan to help the child still be successful if the first endeavor didn't quite work out. Seeing another one where kids took over the family business, and that one required the father to actually fire one of his sons for a period of time. Son was making bad decisions, was lazy, was a bad example, and a bad manager. Employees complained, raised concerns. So to show that there was no favoritism, he actually laid off his own son. Son had to go out, try and make it on his own for a few years. Things didn't work out. Came back to the dad. Dad rehired him at a lesser position than when he started. But the son was willing to eat some crow, put in the time, put in the effort. And in the end, that company is still successful today, to my knowledge. And he's a key reason for that.
Paul, as we close, are there professionals that can help with this? Let's say you've amassed a good amount of wealth. You've been very successful. You know, maybe you just recently sold your business, you're in retirement, you're doing your estate planning, and this is an issue that comes up in estate planning. The children are going to inherit a large chunk of money. You know, we know that you can get an estate planning attorney. They can set up the legal documents and shelter the income, make the wealth transfer. CPAs can help as well, but there's things that go beyond just transferring the wealth. It's really making sure the wealth isn't dissipated and there's a communication and purpose that goes along with that wealth, as well as, let's say, the values of the original founder.
Yeah, in my opinion, and I'm, of course, biased being a financial planner, but having a good financial planner who can help with the wealth management piece and that family governance piece tends to be paramount. Them and CPAs are extremely helpful and extremely important, but estate planning attorneys are the other ones I've found to be extremely helpful in having these conversations. And when you, with whatever planner, CPA, attorney you work with, what you want to make sure of is that they're focusing not just on the quantitative, how much do you have, what is your tax situation, all those bullet points, but also focuses on the qualitative. What are your goals for this money? What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? What values are important to you? Asking those kind of questions to understand your wishes, your objectives for your hard-earned money. Those are the type of individuals that you want to work with, because they tend to be the ones that can help shed light on ways to help you in your current situation.
Paul, as we close, if our listeners would like to find out more about the work that you do or how you may assist them, how can they do so, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I can be reached on our toll-free number, 888-486-3939, or by email. My email address is paul.horn, H-O-R-N, like a car horn, @financialsense.com.
All right. Well, Paul, listen, thanks so much for coming on the program. All the best. Come back and talk again.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
That concludes my interview with Paul Horn. Interesting article, and this is something that we run into. I was fascinated by this when I first got in the business in the late 70s, early 80s. And when I was looking at estate taxes, back then they were 70%. I was saying, how do you have families like the Kennedys, the Rockefellers around? And of course, over the decades, now it's been more a fascination of why there are successful wealth transfers and others that are not. And of course, as we discussed yesterday with Chris Prytower, we were talking about the instances of the unfortunate tragedies. We saw two of those last week, two suicides of very, very wealthy, successful people. And so this is an issue that you're going to be facing. If you are one of those fortunate that have built yourself some wealth through hard work, discipline, maybe starting a business, a successful career, and it all starts with communication, maybe that's more important than just the estate plan itself. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.